the blessed individual. So this thing of prosperity is not something that's out there that we can't attain. This thing called prosperity is not something for those who have been elevated up here and are above everybody else. But this thing, prosperity, is right here where we can all grab it and where we can all get a handle on it. Because all that it means is to satisfactorily accomplish what you intend to do. The blessed man is one who achieves the things that he sets out to do. That's prosperity.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church and founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, and I would like to welcome you to this edition of the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Today, we continue our journey in the Psalms, and we're looking at Psalm 1, the Midas touch. Prosperity, the Midas touch. Before we begin today's message, we want to let you know about a book that I've written that we've been offering entitled Heaven Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. When it comes to heaven, many people rely on Hollywood or somebody who said they died and went to heaven and came back to life with their description of what it was like. However, everything God wants us to know about heaven is revealed in His Word. In this book, we provide biblical answers to questions about heaven that have burned in the hearts of people for generations. Answers to questions such as, do children who die go to heaven? How old will children be in heaven? And here goes one right here that's very sensitive, and that is, will a mother who had an abortion see her aborted child in heaven? Answers to these questions and many more are found in this book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio
and whatever it is
program,
that you
and
do,
we will
you
let
got to
you
put
know
your whole heart to it.
Get your copy.
If you go at it half-heartedly,
Answers for Today,
then you're not going to prosper.
Hope for Tomorrow.
The blessed.
Now join
the blessed person
for the conclusion.
Does what he does.
Prosperity.
It's a King Hezekiah.
Touch from Psalm
did it with
1.
All his heart. And what? And the Lord prospered him. The Lord prospered him. Look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And God promises Joshua, after Moses has turned the leadership reins over to him, God gives these stirring words to Joshua. And he says this in verse 8. This book of the law, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observest to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He said, you should be prosperous. If you meditate in the Word, that if you let your roots sink down into the Word and you draw nourishment from the Word, it says that you are going to prosper. So you not only have to allow the Word to soak up into your life, but you've got to be obedient to the Word. If you're not obeying what God has for you to do, then you're not going to be prosperous. If there's some principle, I was talking to a guy the other night, and he was telling me, he said, you know, a lot of people, when things go wrong in their life, that the first thing they do is they blame God. And I said, well, you know what, you're right. I said, you're right. A lot of people, when things go wrong in their life, the first thing they do is blame God. I said, but you know what I do? When something goes wrong in my life, and I can honestly stand here and say this, whether it's a disagreement that me and my wife have, or it's an issue that I have with my kids, or something else, you know the first thing that I do? I fall on my face and I say, God, show me where I've done wrong. Lord, show me where I made a mistake. Show me where I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And see, so often when something goes wrong in our life, we want to get upset with God. We want to get mad at God. And then we wonder why we're not prospering. And the thing that God is trying to do, he's trying to get your attention so you can make a change so that he can lead you to the way. of prosperity. And so instead of saying, getting mad at God, why don't you look at yourself and say, Lord, is there an area of my life that I'm being disobedient? What is it that you're trying to show me, God? What is it that you want me to get straightened out? Because see, maybe when I do that, then I can move back on this road towards prosperity. Joshua said that if you will meditate in it day and night and seek to do the things that are in it, you will have prosperity. You will successfully complete the things that God has called you to do. One last passage that I want you to look at before we turn back to our text this morning is 2 Chronicles. I didn't write down I only wrote half the reference. I think it's 24 maybe. Somebody might have to help me find this one. 2 Chronicles. Let me find it. See, I just got finished talking about. See how Satan is? I just got finished talking about how study these passages and make sure I'm telling y'all the right thing. All right. 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 4 and 5. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 4 and 5. And it's talking about King Uzziah. King Uzziah. It said here, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought God, everything that he put his hand to had the Midas touch on it. Everything that he did was successfully completed as he sought the Lord. And I want to tell you this morning, that if you will seek the Lord, if you will seek him with your whole heart, if you will spend time in prayer, time in the word, time hearing the word, if you will seek God, God will allow you to prosper. Let's turn back to our notes this morning in the first Psalm. Psalm 1, it says, he shall be like a tree. Oh, I love this today. Psalm 1, he shall be like a tree. As I look at the Bible, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about people and trees. And one of the things that we see is that Adam, he hid behind a tree. Elijah, he was a man under a tree. Zacchaeus, he was a man up a tree. And the blessed man is like a tree. And out of all those people, I want to be like this guy right here. I want to be like a tree. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll see in the middle the conditions for prosperity. What are the conditions for prosperity? It's to be like a tree. Planted in a sophisticated spot, planted in a secure spot, and planted in a saturated spot. First of all, let's look at this whole idea about being planted in a sophisticated spot. It says, he shall be like a tree planted. Now, this word planted indicates intention. This is not something that happens by accident. You know, a tree, what the word used here is not just something that was thrown out there and happened to grow. But the idea here behind the word is that this is a tree that has been thought about. It has been meditated on, and the ideal place was selected, and the tree was planted. And God, he has selected you. I love the track that said, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And the plan that God has for you is a perfect plan. And sometimes we miss it because we are not like that tree planted by the river of water. I like this poem here. It says, I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. Upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with the rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Amen. Amen. Only God can make a tree. And God says that you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And planted in a sophisticated spot. What does it mean when I say planted in a sophisticated spot? That means that you are planted in a place that's been highly cultivated. God has put you in a place where you will experience the best growth possible. God has placed you in soil that is rich in nutrients, that is rich in minerals, and that you can draw from that soil and you can prosper in the things that you do. Sometimes we try to jump out of the soil. We want to be transplanted. We want to be taken out of the soil that God has for us, and we want to be transplanted somewhere else. But somebody said, you got to bloom where you're planted. That whatever circumstance that you're in, you know, whatever you find yourself in, man, just sink your roots down into the place. Say, God, once you determine that this is where God wants you to be, you sink your roots down, and you draw nutrients from that. And come hell or high water, don't let anything move you. It's just like the song that was signed for us this morning. Never give up. Never give up. You might not like the soil where you're at. You might not think that the soil is the best, but God has hand-selected that soil, and God has placed you in the soil where you're at. And you've got to grow right there where you're planted. You know, so some people have had some devastating things. When I was out in New Mexico, there was a lady out there who was on fire for God. She had three kids. Man, she was training up her kids in the way of God. She had just got married to a man that loved the Lord. And she was serving people. She was one of these Dorcas ladies. She just liked to serve people and go everywhere. And she was going to help an old lady clean her house, which is about 30 miles from where she lived. And she went and helped the lady clean her house. And she was coming back that night because she wanted to be back in church the next morning because she had to teach Sunday school. And when she was coming back, she had her two daughters in the back seat. And there was a bull in the middle of the road at pitch dark at night. And she ran into the bull, demolished her car. She died in the accident. Her girls were thrown out of the out of the car. And they lived. And you look at a situation like that and you say, man, how could something like that happen? It's just like Sister Bauer shared with us about the young lady who was killed. How can something like that happen? And we don't understand that. And we struggle with that. And you know, those of us who are left behind to have to deal with that, you know, we can get very bitter with life. And we can say, man, this is some bad soil that I'm in. But you know what? We don't understand why God lets things like that happen. Oh, I wish I had answers and I could tell you why things like that happen. How come that don't happen to the person who's out here giving drugs to the kids? How come that don't happen to the person who's out here beating his wife? How come it don't happen to that person and it happens to good people? I don't understand that. And it's easy to get upset about something like that. And it's easy to get bitter about something like that. But if that's the soil where God planted you, if that's the soil that God has allowed to come to your life, man, you got to sink your roots in. You got to sink your roots in and say, I've got to deal with this situation. And so often, you know, we turn in other directions and we get frustrated and we get upset. But God has chosen a soil for us. And he has planted us there. And we got to learn how to make the best of the situation. The soil, let me say three things about the soil this morning. That the soil has been plowed, the soil has been prepared, and the soil has been pruned. Oh, thank God. Thank God that wherever the soil that I find myself at today, I don't know where you're at today, but you see, these things come, and troubles come in our lives to hold us from that prosperity that God has for us, that successful end that God has for us. So what happens? Troubles come to try to block us from getting to that place. But you know what? You've been in a soil. You've been planted in a soil that has been plowed, prepared, and pruned. It don't get any better than that. And all you have to do is just sink your roots down into the soil and let God minister to you. What do we mean when we say the soil has been plowed? Well, you know what? When a person comes to Christ, they got some hard soil in their life. And what does God do? God breaks up that ground. He breaks up that ground. You know, there may have been a time in your life where, I know that before I got saved, I tried to read the Bible. And the Bible meant absolutely nothing to me. It meant nothing to me. I said, well, there got to be something here I can read. Some people say you're supposed to read the Bible. There got to be something that you can read. And I would read and read. I could never understand anything in the Bible. But you know what happened? I got saved, man. I got saved. And what did God do? God took the jackhammer. He broke up the soil. He broke it up. And now, man, the word got all deep down in me. And so the soil of my heart has been broken up. And now I can begin to receive the things of God. But you know what? Sometimes if I'm not careful, that old soil can get a little hard again. If I'm not taking care of it. And that's why God said in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 11, break up that fallow ground. Break it up. Every day you got to break up that fallow ground. What are the attitudes? Some of us have stinking attitudes. Stinking thinking. And that's hard in that ground. Every day you got to break up that. Break up that fallow ground. Break up that hard ground. Don't let that ground go from one day to another. Because if you do, it's just going to get harder and harder and harder. God's already done his part. He's already broke it up. Now you got to make sure that that the soil stays loose. Because when the soil's not loose, then you can't receive the things of God. How can you travel the road of prosperity when you can't receive the things of God? There's no way for it to get down into your soil because your heart is hard. The rain is just falling on your heart and it's bouncing off because you can't receive it. It's been plowed. The soil not only been plowed, but it's also been prepared. How has it been prepared? It's been prepared because God has placed us in the best place for growth. Wherever you're at right now, just keep this in mind, that you are in a prepared soil. That God knew where you were going to be planted. God knew way before you knew that you were going to be planted in the soil that you're planted in now. You know, some of us are experiencing good things in life. Some of us are breezing through life and we're doing pretty good. But I'll remember what Pastor Glaze said. You're either in a trial, you're out of trial, or you're getting ready to go into a trial. And the soil might be good in your life right now. Oh, it might be good in your life right now. But you know what? That same soil is still going to be good when the problems come. Because it's the place where God wants you to be. A prepared soil. And then it's a pruned soil. In John 15, Jesus said that I am the vine dresser and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that brings forth fruit, he said, I purge it so that it can bring forth much fruit. And every dead branch, I break it off and cast it into the fire. And you know what? If you're being pruned right now, if God is cutting off some dead branches in your life, if God is digging some weeds up out of your life, then you need to let him go ahead and do it. You need to let him go ahead and do it. Because that's the process to get you to the place of prosperity. And as I begin to ask God, why is it as I look at some of these areas in my life, why is it that I don't have the Midas touch in those areas? Why is it that I'm not prospering? And God began to show me that there's some areas that I'm trying to prune on you, brother. There's some branches that I'm trying to break off. There's some weeds that I'm trying to dig up. And you're not yielding to them. You're resisting them. You know, for instance, you know, one of the things that God is dealing with me on, I just got to be honest, God is dealing with me about being on time. Man, God is just dealing with me about that. And I find that sometimes, you know, that's an area that I might not be as prosperous as I want to be. That I'm not coming to a successful completion. Sometimes I go to the hospital and I visit somebody and I get caught up ministering to somebody in the hospital and I got an appointment back here and I'm rushing to get back here and I get back here late. Man, I feel like, oh, man. And so God, you know, when I sit there, and you know, sometimes I come in, if I'm late, I just come in and I, you know, in my spirit, I'm like, It's like my whole countenance is down inside. But I try to keep up outside. I try to say, praise the Lord. But you know what? God is working on my heart. God is pruning me. God is trying to break some of them branches off in my life. He's trying to pull some of them weeds off in my life. And if I just go in and in my heart I dismiss it, then, you know, I'm not really submitting to that pruning process. If I look at areas in my life, in my family, in my marriage, if I look at areas where there's some things going on, and God is trying to break some branches off of me, and God is trying to pull some weeds up, and I begin to cast off and say, well, that's my wife's problem. You know, she needs to deal with that. You know, my wife got the issue. I don't have the issue. That's her. But I need to look back and say, sometimes, man, well, what is God trying to do to you? How's God trying to prune your life? What branches is God trying to break off in your life? Because he's trying to get you to this place of prosperity. And you know, sometimes God allows you to be cut down. And the reason that God allows you to be cut down is because there's too much of you, too much of your sap running through the running through the branches. Too much you drawing too much of your nutrients. And so what's happening? All the fruit that's popping off the tree. Bill Glaze. It's all glazed fruit, no God fruit. God's saying, look, you know, there's too much of your sap running there. We got to take the axe and put the axe to the root. Boom! And take it down. We're going to take it down and start all over again. But, you know, I got good news for you. I got real good news for you. Look at Job chapter 14. And I'm going to quit on this point. I'll pick it back up next week. Job chapter 14. In verse 7, he says, for there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender branch will not cease. Though its root wax old in the earth, and its stock die in the ground. Man, what a perfect picture of self. What a perfect picture of self. Dead, though its root is old in the ground and it's dead. Look at this. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. See, even though you've been cut down, you can come back to life again. Even though it seems like your life has been destroyed, you can come back. At the scent of water, God can refresh the boughs and bring back the leaves in your life if you will submit to the process. And many of us are not experiencing God's prosperity. We're not bringing things to a successful end because we're not in the right spot. We're not in the right spot. And we've transplanted ourselves. We've dug ourselves up and we put ourselves in another soil. And we're drawing nutrients from that soil. And God says, if you want to bear the fruit that I'm talking about, if you want to experience prosperity, then you got to draw nutrients from the soil that I have replaced you. Oh, God, if I was just married to so-and-so, my life would be so much better. Well, you know, somebody said, you think the grass is green on the other side, but if you water your grass, then it'll be green too. So you've got to understand that you got to stay in that soil where you've been planted. You've got to allow God to strengthen you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for part two of Prosperity, the Midas Touch from Psalm 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Prosperity, the Midas Touch, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. We also would like to invite you to visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, where you can view or download more than 400 teachings that have been posted there. My friends, we also would like to invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Remember, it is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. So if you would like to make a financial contribution or request your copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, you can contact us here at anchoredinjesus.org. Remember, the title of our program, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.